Hallelujah. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah, aren't you? Thankful that you feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Just love Him again. I love you, Jesus. It is good to know you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm so thankful, Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I worship you. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good to us. I'm just so thankful to be in church, aren't you? If you have a need, lift your hand with me. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we love you. And I thank you, God, for all the people that are gathered here tonight. And we're in your presence together. And you told us that you would inhabit the praises of your people. And where two or three would be gathered, you would be there. And so we take consolation and hope in it tonight, knowing that you hear us, that you see us, that you are with us, that you're in this place. And to the Lord, every need, every person, every life, every home, I pray, God, that you would touch them and help them. And thank you, Lord, that we can call on you. We can knock on the door. We can ask. We can seek. We can find, and you will answer. You are faithful in that way, God, and you're so good. And so, Lord, we just are praising you and worshiping you this night for the goodness of who you are and the greatness of who you are. And we love you, Jesus. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the church say amen. I'm glad you're here tonight. It's good to be together in the house. It's good to be together in church. Amen. I'm thankful to be back after a Sunday that we had to dismiss due to weather. And it's my sister texted me from Florida this morning, and it was 75 and sunny there, and we were only 20 degrees away from them, right? So not doing too bad. Not doing too bad. Amen. Pray for Sister Nancy Sears. I just found out a moment ago she's in Majestic, correct, right? Nursing home and on hospice. Pray for her. Lift her up. So many people need the Lord. A lot of people struggle this time of year with so many things, with emotions, thoughts, feelings, things that they've gone through, family issues and loss of loved ones. And so a lot of people to pray for. If you don't know what to pray about, come to me. I'll tell you some things people need in their life. But the wonderful thing about it is we always have the goodness of God that is with us. And we are never alone. Amen? Do you recognize how great that is? Do you recognize how great that is? You have something tonight that many people have yet to find. You have the ever-abiding presence of God in your life. What a great peace that is. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray for Sister Nancy and all the needs and everyone that is sick. Everyone that needs your healing, I believe tonight, God, for your power and your grace, that by your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, I pray for those people that are struggling in their mind and their life tonight in circumstances of their home or family or whatever the situation might be, knowing, God, that you who is good and faithful, hear us when we pray. And Lord, that your mercy is manifested to us through the greatness and the attributes of who you are. And so, Lord, I pray, let that be felt in all the needs here tonight that are represented, that people are praying about. And help us to be lights in this world, encouragement to people, to bless them. Oh, God, thank you that we are never alone, that you are with us always. And so, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and we praise you and worship you. Would you just praise him again for a moment? Lord, I praise your holiness. I praise your righteousness, Jesus. How good you are. To God be the glory. I love you, and I thank you that you're kind to us, God, that you're patient. In Jesus' name, amen. This coming Sunday is our Christmas Sunday here at the church, and we didn't get announced some of these things, obviously so, due to the fact we had to dismiss, but this coming Sunday is our Christmas Sunday, and the kids are going to be coming in. And they're going to be having a presentation, and that's going to be a wonderful time for us just to be together. And then following that presentation, we're going to be gathering in the foyer for some cookies and refreshments and just a good time of fellowship. I want everybody to stick around and just be together for a few moments on this Christmas Sunday. And then don't forget that we're going to be dismissing the Wednesday the 24th, Sunday the 28th, and then Wednesday the 31st, back here on the 7th, right at the first of the year. And as we take a break for the holidays, don't forget to bring food. We are running the food drive into January due to the fact Brother Carson Hayes and Sister Becky are the ones kind of
helping us go between here on this, some of this, and taking it for us. The food bank has enough food right now, or at least Ellisville does, for right now. And so we're going to be collecting that, taking that right after Christmas, first of the year. And so we'll run it into the first year when they'll have a need again. And so please bring your food this Sunday, have it here, and we will get some things taken care of and help people in time of need. Amen. Turn and tell somebody it's nice to see them. Amen. And that you are glad that they are here with you. The book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm going to speak very practically tonight for a few moments here. The older that I get, I struggle, I mean, as many of you know, I struggle with my eyes. And sometimes my glasses will help, and other times they're not doing anything but making me feel worse. And my eyes water all the time, and I constantly feel like my eyes are swollen, and I have a hole in each of my retinas, so I have trouble seeing, and there's nothing they can do about that. But I have found two things to be true as I have gotten older. I need more magnification, and I need more illumination. Anybody else found that to be true? If it wasn't for the light on my phone, I don't know where I would have been in many a restaurant. Yeah, anybody? I have to slow down, and I carry these little reader things. They're over there where I sit. I carry these readers in my pocket. I'm constantly putting them on, taking them off. I just bought a bunch, and I just lay them everywhere. Anybody else do that? I'll just lay them down here, put them in my vehicle. I need more magnification. I need more illumination. I need more light, and I need things to be bigger. Right, just simple as that. I need that, and I have to slow down and let that happen sometimes. And I think that's just the same for us spiritually. I need things to be more illuminated to me, and I think I need more spiritual things magnified in my life. And I have to stop and slow down and let it happen. I can't hurry past it, or I won't get it. So tonight, that's what we're just going to do. We're just going to slow down for a second. Look at this practically and try to understand what the word says. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Let's talk about being satisfied. Satisfied. Amen. Father, I love you. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the peace that I find in it. I thank you, Lord, that I can come into this place and all things just seem to settle when I look at you and your presence and your word, your name, your blood. And so help us all to find that tonight, that peace, and to be settled and to be satisfied in our spirit. And we trust in you, and we glorify you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. The book of Ecclesiastes is such an amazing book when you take the time to read it and when you take the time to understand what the wise man was saying there in the book of Ecclesiastes. I encourage you to do so. You can sit down and read this book in just a matter of a few minutes, less than an hour. You can probably go through the whole book and understand so many things. And especially so this book when you read this particular scripture. It seems that God opened a window to look through to all the generations of time, and especially so, I think, for this particular day that we find ourselves in. The words that he said here paint such an accurate picture of the life of many today and the spiritual climate that we are finding in our particular day. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. It doesn't take super spiritual discernment of spirits to be able to look and to appraise the world that we live in and recognize that there is an unsatisfied attitude that permeates the lives of many people. simply unsatisfied. Running to this and then to that and thinking that this is what is missing, and if I get that and buy that, convinced that that will be the thing that brings fulfillment, satisfaction, happiness, whatever title you want to put on it at that point. But the truth of the matter is, it's not just in possessions that this happens. It's as well in distractions. As a matter of fact, I would have to tell you that I think it is more greatly in distractions. We recognize the weight of the tangible. We recognize the weight that possessions and the influence that possessions hold in our life. But it's the ultimate energy that is taken from those things, those possessions, those tangibles of life. It becomes the distractions that are the things that leach further into our spiritual being, things that keep us busy, never slowing to consider or ponder what really more is needed. People fill their days to the fullest and then complain that they never have enough time. That's the truth, isn't it? We fill our days to the fullest and then we complain at the end of the day, well, I just don't have enough time. And though some of it is uninvited, some of it I recognize it's just the culture that we are finding ourselves in, and it does not just happen for the older, middle, or older adult, middle-aged. It happens to our youth, young adults. There are things that are uninvited, but there's a great deal that people add to themselves that is not healthy and that is not necessary. Most of the time, it's just not necessary. And then it becomes something that becomes unhealthy spiritually. I'm speaking spiritually now. It happens in the flesh, but it ultimately works to affect the spirit of man. Life gets filled with things only to find out that it's not really fulfilled anything. We're filled with things, but we're not fulfilled by much of anything. And the reason being is you can never satisfy spiritual hunger with carnal sustenance. We can never satisfy a spiritual hunger with a carnal substance. These tangibles will never be the thing that satisfy what my soul, your soul, the spirit of man is looking and longing for and desperately needing. And no doubt you've heard this before. This is nothing new that I'm saying tonight. You've heard it from this pulpit or another, but it is still often the thing that will ultimately rob us of joy and peace if it is not corrected. In time, the things, the distractions, the things that we think are ultimately good become the things that become unhealthy, and they in time will rob us of the joy and the peace that we have in our life. And I will tell you, I had a friend years ago, Brother Steve Richardson, one time in the hospital before he passed, he told me, he said, and we've heard this before as well, if you have your health, you have everything. I'll never forget. And of course, he was at that point dying. If you have your health, you have everything. I would add to that, if you have peace, you have everything. Right? It's the same old battle that has been going on for some time. It just seems now in this day, it wages more fierce than it has ever done so before in the history of humanity. And the only remedy is still the same, and that is simply more of God. And the things of God is what will satisfy what is missing in our life. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, this is important to understand here. And you can only really understand this by reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Because you don't find it really addressed in a great amount. There are other passages within the Word that touch on this particular subject. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, it is evident what the wise man is saying. So this is not a message that is speaking against possessions or pleasures or activities tonight, because they are needful and they are healthy. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find that the wise man gave approval of those things. You'll find that he talked about that this is our lot in life, is to work, is to enjoy these things and to have the blessings of God in our life, but to understand that there is a line to where those things become vanity, or they become the things that rob us of the ultimate blessing that God intended for them to be in our life. When our perspective is lost and the balance of our soul's diet runs into the unhealthy side, then we have to take inventory and realize what is more important and what will make the greatest of difference. Jesus said this, blessed are they which do hunger You know this verse, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is in the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One translation, as you know, says happy are they. First of all, we are most happy, or we are most complete. Let me put it that way. We are most complete when we are living our life to the fullest in God. If you look at your life and you go back and you think of your closest proximity when you were the, I'm cautious to word it this way, but let me word it this way just for safety's sake here. When you were the most spiritual, when you were the closest in your relationship with God, probably you could say that was when you felt the most complete. I think all of us would agree with that if we would just pull back all the things in our life and go to a time. If you're at that time right now, God bless you, I'm happy. I think you'd stay there. But when you're the most complete is when you are the closest to the Savior. We can expend a lot of energy trying to find happiness or fulfillment in this world, when all the while it waits on us just to simply live for God with all of our life. That's why he said this, look at this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Let everything about us be for God and living for him. And then there is no room for unhappiness or incompleteness. If we understand that when we are filled, when we love him with the totality of who we are, with the fullness of our being, that being our soul, our spirit, and the flesh of who we are, our life dedicated and committed to the things of God, to God, then we find that there is not room for there to be incompleteness in our life. We are, the word said in another place, we are made complete in him. I've often talked to people that find themselves in a frustrating state of life, be it because of self-invited things and uninvited things, but often it will come back to the place that if we would just simply be complete, if we would find our completeness in God. Where's Brother Tabor? Is he in here? Yeah, you're back there. Brother Tabor and I had a conversation before church tonight that we won't go into about a lot of different things. But he and I had a conversation. I walked away from that conversation thinking, and we were talking about the church, the future of the church and, around the world, and what the church is evolving to, what I think the church personally is going to evolve to. And I have my thoughts on that as to where we'll see the church here in the next, I think in the next 5 years, next 10 years. For sure, but next 5 years more probably, we'll see an evolution within the church, and I think it's a necessary evolution. I think it's a necessary change. I'm talking about the church collectively all over the world now, and I think it's a healthy change for the church, but I think it's going to be a change that is going to make us recognize that if we are going to be the church, the true church, not just a fad that's on the scene, but if we are going to have relationship with God, it needs to be sincere and authentic and even transparent, to the point that we are not buying into this because of entertainment value or because it's something that just tickles our fancy and what we like to hear or how we like it to be presented. But we come to church and we come to God because we need him. We want him. We want completeness in God. I don't know about you. I don't want to just come in here and go through emotions and mentality that just knows the right push buttons and is entertained. I want relationship with the Lord. I want communion. I want to be saved. And I don't want it to be that I have association with the church and to think that somehow just a mere association is all that I need for me to be saved. That is not enough. It's not just because I rub shoulders with you and you rub shoulders with me and we shake hands and we say, praise the Lord. That does not give me access into the throne room, if you would. He said, there will be many in that day that say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because association, just mere association is never enough. There must be surrender. There must be completeness in God. There must be that understanding of dependence upon God. Amen. Let everything about us be for God and living for Him. And when we are like that, then there's no room for us to feel the incompleteness that life often tries to crowd in on us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The heavenly guarantee is that we shall be filled. When we hunger after spiritual things, when we thirst after spiritual things, we have a guarantee that God said He would fill us. He would never reject us. When we desire to be spiritual, when we desire to be more and to have more in the Spirit, we will be satisfied, complete in Him if we do this. And we will lose that constant feeling that we're running on empty. And I think that's what a lot of people deal with in our world this day. And I'm going to go so far as to say I think a lot of people deal with this in the church as well. We feel like we're running on empty. I would venture to say tonight that there are many people in the sound of my voice right now in this place that when you get, and I'll talk more about this here in just a second, you get the end of your day, you feel like that you feel like the needle's on E and the light is flashing. You just don't have much capacity left for much of anything. Because everything has been spent. Everything has been occupied in your life with all the distractions and all the things that rob us of our energy and rob us ultimately of joy and peace. But we will be complete and satisfied when we hunger and thirst for spiritual things. He said we would be filled. All that we need will be there. The key is simply we have to be hungry and thirsty for God. That is the key. We have to be more hungry and thirsty for spiritual things than we are for carnal things. Somebody say amen. Amen. And sometimes, the truth be told, that takes us to stop consuming other things so that we might recognize that we are really hungry and thirsty for spiritual things and not all that other stuff. I really believe it, in a world, and I've talked to you about this here a few months ago, and I really want to talk about it more in the new year, and hope to help us understand. I mentioned the Sabbath to many people in this place, and I have talked to many people in personal conversations about the Sabbath, about stopping, taking time, protecting time, protecting valuable space. Let me tell you something. I think every elder person in this church would say that time is more important than your bank account. I think anybody with a gray hair on top of their head would say, and some of you have some premature gray hairs, so you need to amen me on this. Time is more important than whatever amount of money you do or do not have. And so can I tell you, time that you spend with God is more important than any time you will do fixing this or buying that and going here and going there. God, family, the church. Everybody hear it? God, family, church. Everything else falls underneath that. That's biblical. God, family, church. Amen? Amen. You get those things right, then all the other things usually begin to find their proper place. But sometimes we just have to stop consuming all those other things so that we can recognize what we're really hungry for, what it is that we are really wanting. What we're really trying to find is not to satisfy the flesh with one more thing. It's to satisfy the Spirit, which will be complete in our life and then affect our flesh. Our world what we read and what we hear and what we see teaches us that we need this, we need to do that, we need to be that, and that we'll find the answer to all the quandaries of life and so many things. And if we're not careful, we will get so filled up on that stuff and forget the giver of life and the author and the finish of our faith. We will forget where our life has really come from and how we are sustained. There's not a one of us in this place tonight. Everybody okay? Say amen. No, there's not a one of us in this place tonight. We are, the only reason why we're here is because of His mercy, His compassions. He gave us life. That is the only reason we are here. And we have to put that in our mind constantly. The only reason why we live, we breathe, we have our being is because of God. All things were created by him and for him. And without him was not anything made. And we were created. All things were created for his good pleasure. Amen. So that he might demonstrate his mercy to us and through us. And so we have to remember that he is the author and he is the finisher of our life. He is the answer that we're looking for. Young people, young adults in this place, you should pray every day, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to marry the right person. I want to work the right occupation in my life. I want to do the right thing. I want to make the right choices. Help me to be guided in your word and in your will so that I might be complete. Because life is too long and life is too short to live incomplete, to live unfulfilled. Constantly trying to find it in this or that. You're going to find it when you find Jesus. Amen? I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'm going to try to punt the ball till later in the new year. We pray for certain things in our life. I have dedicated now a lot of babies up in front of this church. This is going to sting. It's not going to sting you folks because you're here tonight. But somebody listening, it might sting. I've dedicated a lot of babies up in front of this church and prayed prayers over them. And I have talked to those parents prior to those babies coming about. And they ask God for them. And then I will tell them when I see them, and I still do it to this day, I will tell people when I see them and they're not in church after they've dedicated their babies, I will tell them, why aren't you in church? You asked God for that baby. He gave it to you. What do we do with the things that God give us after the answer? If we prayed the prayer asking God to give us the answer, then we should give it to God. And we should commit it to God. Amen. Everybody still with me? We ask God, God bless me. Oh, God bless me. And then God blesses us, and then we don't show up to church. Oh, God, would you give me this? Would you give me that? And then God gives it to us, but yet we withhold from him. None of this is in my notes tonight, and I'm sorry, here the week before Christmas, I feel like I'm the Grinch up here or something. Everybody okay? I'm just trying to tell you, amen, that God, he's just more important. I'm telling you, you're going to be happy in him. And if we ask God for all these things and he blesses us with it, then we have a spiritual and scriptural obligation that we continue to give it to him and honor him with our faithfulness and with our life and with our commitment. Amen. If God blessed you, it's his. Don't try to keep it at home. Amen. I'll move on. Amen. Amen. We're never going to find the answer out there, but we are going to find it in here. Man, look at this. Man did not write that. Okay, God used the holy men of old, the Bible tells us in the New Testament. He used the holy men of old to write this book. He used prophets to speak, and he used men, common men, to become the disciples and the apostles that would pen this word. And so it was all under the divine, and the Bible tells us, all under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It was all directed by God. And so this is our roadmap. This is our book. This is what we have, the covenant that God has established. The Old Testament is the old covenant, thereby given the law that we might know God. It was the schoolmaster to bring us to him. But then the New Testament, the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant was Jesus Christ. We have the promises of God that are yea and amen, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the goodness, all of this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you look in the front of your book, it talks about, it says that probably, at least this one does, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelatory work of Jesus Christ. People say, what is the gospel? This is the gospel. You read this, everything it teaches you, all the moral attributes of it, it's all about the gospel. Because the gospel brings us into relationship with him and makes our life righteous. We are made righteous by his righteousness. Amen? We are made holy by his holiness. And so we have to look at this and understand, man did not write this book. God did. God had them pen it. God was the author, is the author, and the finisher of our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. Man does not know more than God. So this book is right. It is true. And if we follow it, and understand that man cannot satisfy the things of the Spirit like God can. Like, if we will live this, if we will understand, this brings us to a place that we can be complete and be fulfilled when we follow it. They said unto him, look at this next scripture. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6, 34 and 35. Man still cries out for the bread. Look at this. They were coming to him. He was talking about bread, and they were saying, evermore give us this bread. They were thinking about physical bread. They were thinking about physical food. In other words, let me get this, let me have that, let me buy this, let me go there, whatever. Let me have the physical things that's going to make me satisfied. And Jesus said, if you have this bread, you're never going to be hungry. You're never going to be thirsty. Evermore was the cry. Evermore give us. Man still cries out for the same thing. Evermore give us. But fail to realize what they're really asking for is Jesus. Amen. Man is still hungry. And all that the world has offered is still not enough to satisfy a hungry soul. The answer is still the same. Jesus is the bread of life. And he that comes to him shall never thirst or shall never hunger. And he that believes on him shall never thirst. Only God satisfies. Only God fills what is missing in our soul's life. Only God makes our homes and our families complete. Amen? Now listen, there's no such thing as a perfect family. That's true, because you're in it. Right? So there's your answer. There's nobody that's perfect. Just when you think you are perfect, that just proved it right there. You're not. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect family. No such thing as just you remember the old Olin and Mills portraits? It just didn't work, right? So nobody's perfect. No family's perfect. But we can be made complete. We can do pretty well when God is first in our homes and our life. Only God satisfies. Only God fills what's missing in our soul. Only God makes our homes and our families complete. The appetite will never be satisfied by the means of man. Our homes, our lives will never be satisfied by the what man considers equity. But it will be when we are filled with God. We all have to come to that point when and where we have to make right choices. And we cannot continue in spiritually unhealthy, weakening ways. I believe everybody at some point, let me say something here. I believe that everyone at some point will come to a junction point in their relationship with God. I remember when I came to it. And I remember having to make the choice in what I believed. And at that particular point, there were some things, I'm trying to hurry along here, but just bear with me for a moment more. There were some things that I didn't know what I believed. And this was some years back now. I didn't know what I believed. I didn't know how I felt about them. I knew how my parents felt about them. I knew how my pastor felt about them. I knew how what he had taught me. But I had to come to a grasp of it for myself. And what I came to was in fact what they believed and what he believed and what he taught. But I believe everybody comes to a point to where you have to determine, you come to that crossroad to make right choices, that you're going to commit to this. You put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. You're going to live the life. You're going to quit debating it. You're going to quit, amen? You're going to quit wondering, is it right or is it wrong? Is it heaven or is it hell? Is it necessary or is it not? Amen. If you get your focus on Jesus, you put your eyes on Jesus, I believe all those things will begin to take their proper place if you'll study and pray and you'll look and you'll understand, because there's something about the focusing of Jesus and looking at him. Because when we look at the focus of the sacrifice at Calvary, then there is no cost too great. When I look at the cross of Calvary, I stop debating certain things. Because whatever, I try to pray this every morning. Father, I want to live a life that is worthy of the ultimate sacrifice that you gave for me. So when I pray that prayer, I am saying, God, all these side issues that I get snagged and hung up on, I need to put them to the side and put my eyes on you and do whatever you ask of me and whatever it takes to be saved. And I believe we all come to that point where we have, and I don't think it's just a one-time encounter. I remember some of these issues and questions I had in mind. I wrestled with them for quite some time. I went to the Word, I studied, I called friends, I called pastors, I called other preachers that were in my life, and I went through it. I went through each item, and these were men that I went and called people that I knew that I would probably get differing opinions because I wanted to hear it all. I wanted to understand it, and finally I came to the point where my feet were planted in. We talked about this earlier with Tabor. Amen. I knew the hill that I was worth, that was worth dying on. Anybody understand that? I knew the hill that was worth dying on. I know in whom I have believed. I can stand here tonight and tell you, I know in whom I have believed. His name is Jesus. And I will tell you, it's been worth every step of the way living for him. Has it been easy and perfect? Not at all. Has it been worthwhile? Yes, it has. And the moments that it was painful, the Bible says, oh, it's just a light affliction. It's but a moment in the grand scheme of eternity. Amen. We must live for God. And we can't continue to live unhealthy, weakening ways in our spiritual life and expect to be strong. We have to make right choices and try to do right and to recognize our spiritual health and life depends on it. And when we do that, it brings peace and joy and satisfaction to our living. We're getting ready to turn the corner on a new year, going into 2026, should the Lord tarry. And there's going to be some treadmills fired up. You know, the dust is going to be flying in the house because they've just been sitting there, and somebody's going to think this is the day, right? How many have already planned it? I'm not raising my hand. This is going to be the time. Why is it that we will be willing to do those things to make this physical man that will pass away to dust, but we are not willing to do the things so often that will ultimately make us spiritually healthy? God help us to have a right priority system. Amen? I'm preaching for you tonight. I'm teaching for you. And we just have to make the right choices. Our life depends on it spiritually. And when we do it, it brings joy and it brings peace and it brings satisfaction to our living. I believe that. When I'm praying, folks, that's when I'm complete. When I'm in the Word, that's when I feel fulfilled. When I'm coming around here and being around you and being in church, man, I tell you what, I thought I was going to go crazy Sunday. Because it was out of, I was out, anybody, I know some of you are thinking, not me. I got the day off. No, I thought, I need to be in church. Why? Because that's the way I'm wired. This is where I get filled, complete, encouraged, satisfied, you know? I come here and I eat spiritual things and I walk out of here and say, oh, God's been good to me. Amen. Amen. I'm done now. When we come, it's 8:00. When we come to the end of our day, this is the final thing I'm going to say. When we come to the end of our day and we stop and we pray and we lay our head down for rest, I believe we should take inventory of our life. And I think we have to ask ourselves these questions in our spirit, for our spirit, for our soul. It is affecting our flesh, but ultimately the outcome is eternally in our spirit. I think we have to stop and take inventory and ask ourselves when we've got to the end of the day of our life and know and ask, are we satisfied? Are we complete? Are we at peace? And are we thankful? At the end of the day, tonight, when you go home, do this. Lay your head down and ask yourself, are you complete? Are you satisfied? Are you at peace? And are you thankful? For satisfaction, we're talking about being satisfied. Satisfaction is a result of being thankful. When I am satisfied, it's because I am thankful. Always grateful. Always knowing that our completeness, in other words, is found in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. You can lay your head down tonight. The Bible says this. It says, He giveth His beloved rest, sleep. He giveth His beloved sleep. If you are struggling with sleeping because your mind is so in a turmoil and you feel like you're running on empty at the end of the day, I want to give you a remedy. Instead of sitting there, laying there, worrying, we talked about this Sunday, didn't we, by text, Brother Jake? instead of worrying about tomorrow, because worry will rob you of peace. Instead of worrying about all the things and feeling unsatisfied, feeling like you can't keep up, you're running on empty, and you got to get up tomorrow, and you're already two steps behind before you get out the door. Instead of feeling that way, do this. I guarantee it'll change you. Just lay there for a minute and just thank God piece by piece for your day. Lord, I thank you woke me up. I thank you gave me breath. I thank you I can see. I thank you, Lord, I got kids. I got a grandbaby. Woo! Yeah. I thank you, God, that I've got good health, relatively so. I thank you, God, that I've got people around me that love me. I thank you, God, I've got people around me that don't love me. I thank you, God, for your blessings, your possession, the possessions you've given me, the money in the bank to pay my bills. Lights, I laid there early Sunday morning. I thank the Lord. I'm thankful, God, I've got shelter and I've got heat. There's a lot of people today that don't. You may not have everything that you want, but you've got everything you need. And so if you'll just be thankful, you're going to feel yourself, I really believe this, you're going to feel yourself start getting full. And pretty soon you're going to start recognizing, I just don't have it that bad. I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. God's been good to me, and I can be satisfied in Him. Amen. Lord, I love you. Stand with me. I thank you for your goodness and grace to us, Lord, and thank you for your word and this people here. And I thank you, Lord, that I can be satisfied in you. And Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful for everything. You're so good to me, Lord. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. I'll see you Sunday. Amen. Come bring some food for the food pantry and come expect a good time with the kids in here and in fellowship afterwards. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.